Isaiah 8:12, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they are in fear of or be in dread of it. You have tuned in to God and Country Radio. I'm your pastor-teacher, Bradford Winship. This is a program where we look at current events in light of Scripture. For a long time, I've been wanting to do a program on the topic of conspiracy theories. It is a topic that needs to be addressed because if you've ever run into people who espouse conspiracy theories, you know how difficult it is to address these people. I get daily emails suggesting all sorts of wild things going on behind the scenes. You can't refute these people because they say they have secret knowledge of events, and you can't agree with them because you do not have the evidence in hand. You might suspect that there are people in the world plotting to do dastardly things, but you are not about to base your conclusions on suspicions, as many people do. It's very hard to make headway with conspiracy theorists because as soon as you counter their theory with an argument, they simply say, well, that is what they want you to think. Many of these people who hold to conspiracy theories are conservative ideologues, so you don't want to alienate them. So what are we to think of these folks and their conspiracy theories? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about, such as conspiracy theories that say our government was behind the 9/11 attacks, or that it was a plot by the Israeli Secret Service, the Mossad. Or those who believe back in 2004, the tsunami in the Indian Ocean was caused by an electromagnetic pulse created by the U.S. and Indian government to wipe out the Muslim population in Indonesia. Or those who believe that globalists are engaged in chemical attacks on the population by putting dangerous toxins into our food, aspartame, high fructose corn syrup, genetically altered wheat. How about those who believe big oil companies have prevented the development of cars that run on water? Or those who believe that the CIA and the Air Force have concealed the fact that UFOs crashed near Roswell, New Mexico? Then there are people who warn of secret societies, the Freemasons, the Skull and the Crossbones, the Bilderbergs, the Council for Foreign Relations, and powerful families such as the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds. Now, no one would deny the fact that there are bad groups in the world today. The question is over how much they're doing in secret and how much power they can actually wield. Here's a definition of a conspiracy theory. It is a belief that there are unknown people, groups, or governments who are engaged in covert actions, actions hidden from the public knowledge, that are pulling the strings on world events. Obviously, there are people who are engaged in covert planning. That is why we have wars. Hitler wanted to take over the world. We have world religions and businesses that try to affect world policy. That people group together to change the world is nothing new. The difference is that in a conspiracy theory, the influence is happening secretly by organizations that are not supposed to be making world policy. For example, rather than Congress directing U.S. fiscal policy, it's being done by the Rothschilds or by the CFI. Now, please understand that conspiracy theories are nothing new. This is not something that has just arrived in the 20th century. Conspiracy theories have been used by every generation to vilify enemies. The pagans blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. That was a conspiracy theory. Others believe Nero set fire to the city himself to get rid of the slums. Nazi Germany developed all sorts of conspiracy theories against the Jews to justify the persecution of the Jews. Let's look fully at the text I began with. You are not to say it's a conspiracy. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 14. Be broken, O people, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves and be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand. For God is with us. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you're not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you are to regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary both to the house of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The text says, do not call a conspiracy what the people call a conspiracy. Can this text of Isaiah be quoted to people in our day who hold to conspiracy theories to show them that they should not hold to conspiracy theories? Well, in part, I think the principle is being laid down that does apply to people in our generation. Let's look at the historical context. The people in Isaiah's day were accusing Isaiah himself as secretly working for the Assyrian and the Babylonian governments. Because God's prophet Isaiah was telling Israel not to join the foreign alliance of Egypt, Moab, the Edomites, and the Arabs to fight against the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The prophets believed the Mosaic law, which prohibited the people from making alliances with foreign nations. Instead, they were to trust the Lord rather than trust these foreign nations. And so Isaiah was telling the people, do not form an alliance against Assyria, against the Babylonians. What Isaiah said could be interpreted as support for the Assyrians. It would be like a Christian leader today saying we need to support Israel, and someone saying he is being paid to say this by Jewish businessmen who control the world. When in fact, the pastor is saying this because he really believes God wants a Christian nation to be pro-Israeli. Or if a Christian leader is supporting the war in Iraq, and someone says he's being influenced by big oil or by Jewish Zionists who want America in a war against the Muslims. This is the problem with those who hold to conspiracy theories. They are very quick to impugn the motives of others. If the Assyrians are to gain by the prophet Isaiah's words, then it is assumed that Isaiah must be working for the Assyrians. The problem with the conspiracy theorist is that they connect the dots they see and they fail to realize that there are other dots, other reasons which are equally valid. Conspiracy theorists assume that if someone gains money or power from some action in the world, they must be behind it, and they must have plotted to do it for money and power. One might claim since America gained economic supremacy from World War II, America must have gotten into World War II simply to destroy the European economy. Or someone might claim the globalist wants to reduce the population of Earth. They must have created the H1N1 flu virus in a laboratory to reduce the population. These are fallacies in logic. You see a result and attribute the wrong cause to the result. People make this mistake all the time. And it's often caused by a lack of knowledge in either science, biology, economic, politics. The first lesson learned in this text of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 8, that applies to today is that we must be very careful not to impugn people's motives. You better have proof in your hand before you send out emails accusing other people or groups of conspiracy. It's a serious thing to call someone a liar or a deceiver. You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. The second lesson from this verse that applies to today is verse 12. You are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. The Israelites at this time had misplaced fears. They feared men rather than God, and their over-the-top fear of the Assyrians might have caused them to be suspicious of everyone, even the prophet Isaiah. And I find that if a person has a great fear in one area of life, they do become paranoid in other areas of life, as if everyone is out to get them. And I have noticed that those who hold to conspiracy theories have unwarranted fears because, like the Israelis in this verse, they overestimate man's power and they underestimate God's power or his sovereign control. One thing that I have always noticed in conspiracy theories is that they give man way too much credit, that men are powerful enough and smart enough to affect worldwide change. I don't believe that the Jews working in the CIA were smart enough to secretly arrange the destruction of the World Trade Centers in order to get America into a war in the Middle East. There are just too many things that they could not count on or control. Plus, we read in the scriptures that God is in control of what people can do and what they can get away with. Even if some people plan destruction, I don't fear it, Because people can plot all they want, but God will only let men go so far. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 3 says that God will confound their strategy. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. I remember hearing Chuck Colson speak about his time in the White House. When he worked for President Nixon, there was hyperinflation. Colson said that everything the administration did to try to manipulate the economy backfired on them. If they increased the money supply, there was inflation. If they decreased the money supply, there was inflation. Even if the Bilderberg Group or the World Bank or the CFI tried to manipulate the economy, I laugh at their attempts. One of the big lessons I learned firsthand in graduate business school is that the economy is so complex and is influenced by so many factors that it is impossible for anyone to manipulate it. And historically, when people have tried to manipulate the economy, it usually does the opposite of what the manipulators wanted to happen. There's an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes that teaches that Christians ought not to worry about world leaders who abuse their power, because God has raised up other men to thwart their agenda. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. If you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, don't be shocked. For one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. After all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. This is an amazing verse that Christians who get all worked up over politics need to understand. No leader can get away with injustice or the monopolization of power because God has set up a system by which men are in competition with each other. The mighty and the cruel fall very quickly. But even more fascinating is that this passage goes on to say, after all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. The point is that even their injustices, God turns around for the good of the world. The wealth they store up is eventually given over to the righteous, and their absurd projects, God turns around for good. The text is not saying that we should keep quiet about injustices, but it's saying that we should not become overly alarmed, because we know evil will be quickly put down by God. In our passage in Isaiah chapter 8, the verse before reads that no matter what the nations of the world plan or groups of people conspire to do, it will be thwarted by God. The text reads, devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. And so the text says, do not fear. In regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. Did you ever watch Pinky and the Brain? It was a cartoon put out by Warner Brothers in the 1990s. It's actually written for adults. It's about two laboratory mice named The Brain and Pinky. Pinky is a complete moron. In every episode, The Brain comes up with some new technique to take over the world. And each time, it becomes a complete disaster. Usually because Pinky and the world do not operate the way the brain expects. The cartoon is actually quite philosophical, because the reality is that those who try to manipulate the world are thwarted by their own ignorance and by the providence of God. Even the worst conspiracy of all, the reign of the Antichrist, will be a complete disaster that lasts only 7 years. And it is really not that much of a conspiracy in the sense of a conspiracy being secret. The prophecy states that 10 kings will receive authority with the beast for 1 hour, a short period of time. These 10 kings and their countries will most likely not need their arms twisted behind the scene. And I suspect that they will join with the Antichrist very willingly and very openly. Part of the fallacies of conspiracy theories is to think that the leaders have an agenda different from the public, when in reality, the public is just as corrupt as the leaders. There are no conspiracies in Satan's kingdom. When it comes right down to it, all the lost people in the world are in complete agreement. Psalm chapter 2, verse 3. Let us tear God's fetters apart and cast away his cords from us. That is the agenda of the entire world. So here are some of the causes of conspiracy theories. I already touched on some. a lack of knowledge, a jumping to conclusions without real facts, a tendency to impugn people's motives, fear. And let me add some more. Some people attribute conspiracy theories to insecurity. I think this might be a contributing factor in some. Out of class envy, there are those who are overly critical or suspicious of those with money and power. I remember in 1999, I talked with some Christians who are actually looking forward to the predicted Y2K financial collapse. Remember, all the computers of the world were going to shut down, and there was going to be economic collapse. Everyone's bank accounts were going to be erased, and computer consultants made a lot of money over making computers Y2K compliant. I spoke with many who wanted to see this collapse because they felt disenfranchised. They wanted to see the rich and the powerful get their comeuppance. I have found that there is a small minority of church that, for the wrong motives, look forward to the apocalypse coming. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, some preach Christ out of the motive of envy and strife. So watch out for this in others and even in your own heart. Some conspiracy theory advocates are just bitter people. They are people looking for scapegoats to blame the problems of the world on. They feel empowered by having this inner knowledge of conspiracies and their working. For those people who hold to conspiracy theories for this reason, the way to counsel such people is to deal with the deeper spiritual problem of bitterness and insecurity. And let me put forth one final reason for conspiracy theories: a lack of balance. There are people who have finally learned that the ungodly are doing things behind the scenes. There is always an element of truth in every conspiracy theory. But these people have not learned from Scripture that man is not that smart to make his plans work, that God is constantly thwarting the plans of men, and that even bad plans, God works out for good. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, they know, but they don't know as they ought to know. There's a very obscure but very significant passage in Scripture found in Ezekiel 8. In that text, Ezekiel is shown a vision of what is really going on behind the scenes among the leaders of Israel. Ezekiel 8:6. And he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what they're doing, the great abominations which the house of Israel are committing here, so that I would be far from my sanctuary? But yet you will see even greater abominations." Then he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He said to me, "Son of man, now dig through the wall." So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. And he said to me, "Go in and see the wicked abominations that they're committing there." So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping thing and beast and detestable things, with all the idols of the house of Israel, were carved on the wall all around. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel, with Jaazani, the son of Shaphan, standing among them, each man with a censer in his hand and the fragrance of the cloud of incense rising. Then he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images? For they say the Lord does not see, the Lord has forsaken the land." What is this text all about? The common people of Israel may have been wondering why God was bringing such harsh judgment upon Israel. I mean, after all, the Israelites served God in the temple, they raised their families, they paid their bills. But Ezekiel is shown what is really going on behind the scenes. All the political leaders of Israel were involved in occultic worship inside the temple of the Lord. And Jaazani, whose family professed to be faithful to God, was leading the seance. This was not symbolic. This is what was actually going on in the back rooms. No wonder God was going to destroy the temple, the nation, the city. Are there wicked abominations happening in the back rooms of world leaders? Absolutely. The prostitutes in Washington are well employed by senators and congressmen and bureaucrats. And of course, politicians pick up the phone and they call their friends in the media to slant certain stories. The word conspiracy is from the Latin meaning unity. And people unite together to further their cause. It's called the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And people of like mind work together. Evil is going on behind the scenes. And do you really believe everything that you hear in the news? If you do, you're naive. The news is in the entertainment business. They're not going to depress you with the real stories, the murders, the rapes, the extortions, the number of babies killed in abortion clinics. They're not going to tell you how Washington is really spending your money. They will report on what the fallen world is interested in. They will major on the minors. They will minor on the majors. And these news outlets, by their selection of certain stories, shape the news. They create public interest in certain issues. By their spin, they can make people more concerned about the economy or less concerned. And even if there's not a grand conspiracy by a few men editing the news, there is even a worse problem. Most of these people in the media are unsaved. They're lost men. And as the scripture says, they are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They don't understand how to process the information before them because they are spiritually blind. And of course, the Bilderberg Group and the IMF and the Council for Foreign Relations and the UN are interested in controlling the world to secure their wealth and power. And of course, they're trying to skirt national boundaries and laws. These groups are not secret. They are very bold in trying to make a new world order that jettisons Christian values. By way of conclusion, the over-the-top anxiety stirred up by the conspiracy theory crowd fails to acknowledge that God is in control of man. They fail to acknowledge that there are some good people. Good people that God puts into power who are the salt of the earth. And they fail to acknowledge that the real conspiracy is not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. This fits the true definition of a conspiracy. Because the real policymakers are hidden from the public view. The policymakers are an advanced kingdom of demons. There doesn't have to be people meeting together in back rooms to plan wickedness. Every lost person is already under the control of Satan. You are under the control of whatever kingdom you're a part of, whether you realize it or not. And just the way that the Lord inspires us and brings to our mind things to do for the kingdom of God, Satan inspires his servants to advance his agenda. The problem with these conspiracy theories is that they take attention away from the true conspiracy of Satan. Isaiah 8, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, and you're not to fear what they're in fear of or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Bradford Winship. This is a ministry of Harbor Bible Church off of exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. And our website is godandcountryradio.org. And let me remind you that this month we have put together a special off-the-air CD explaining the doctrine of the new birth as described by Jesus in John chapter 3. This can be a great resource to put into the hands of a friend who may believe in God and even in Jesus Christ, but doesn't know about being born again. We're offering this CD if you contact us. If you wish, a donation of $3 will help us cover the cost of the CD, the label, the sleeve, the envelope, the mailing. Two ways you can get this CD, call us at Harbor Bible Church, 732-583-9286, or go to our website, godandcountryradio.org, click on Contact Us, and email us your address. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we never fear men, but have confidence in the sovereign power of God to thwart the wicked in their plans against your people. May our fear of the Lord change the way we understand the world. And may you give your people love, power, and a sound mind in these last days. Amen.